Episode 1, Why Invest in Board Games?
All right, welcome back to those who have listened to our pilot episode.
Yay, welcome back.
Yeah,
both of you.
So this is Ron. Hi there. I'm an IT specialist. I do IT stuff, but into board gaming. I head Variable Play with my editor here, Reg.
Hello. I'm a freelance writer and I enjoy Ultimate and long walks and travel.
Jose?
I manage a board game store located in Makati. I sell and teach board games for a living and I enjoy long walks on the beach.
Cool.
You should go sometime.
All right. What have you guys been playing the past few weeks?
40K Conquest.
Oh, cool.
Oh, Conquest.
I love the fluff, so...
And I believe it's the best LCG at the moment.
At the moment?
Yes.
Over Netrunner. Netrunner.
In terms of mechanics, it's the one that's most interesting and a little bit more streamlined. It bases itself a lot with Legend of the Five Rings, I think, in terms of how it paces the game.
Legend of the Five Rings, that's that Japanese-themed medieval magic.
It's not Japan. It's not Japan.
It's based, I assume it's based on the book by...
Alfheimer, yeah?
Who wrote that book? The Swordsman. Masamune?
No. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Compared to Doomtown, I think there's also a lot of interest in Doomtown nowadays.
Doomtown is a cowboy.
It's a cowboy theme LCG. LCGs are living card games instead of the Magic the Gathering style.
Where you open a pack and, what am I getting? I buy this, I know exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
I make a deck.
But the cool thing about Conquest is like, you really feel like you're playing a Warhammer game.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think that's cool. I mean, for a card game.
Yeah, agree. How about you, Jose?
I have played Guildhall.
Yeah?
It's a really cool card game. It seems simple enough.
What's it about? Sorry, Guildhall. It doesn't really.
It's about
inspire my imagination.
Okay,
Guildhall. It's just condominium. That's what I'm getting.
Or establishment.
Yes.
Anyway, Guildhall is you're collecting different kinds of jobs.
So you play as a
guild master.
A guild master.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're collecting cards like the hunter, the surgeon, the cannoneer. Well, depends on the setting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, although I played the sales one, so it's pirate theme. So you got the buccaneers, the surgeons, you got the lookouts.
My copy that Jose also got to play was the German translation
the
of it.
Jaeger.
So you have Jaeger,
nice.
And you have Kramerins, which are the peddlers,
yes.
And Deedin, which is
But the cool thing about the game is
that
at first it's really complicated to learn. It's symbol heavy.
Okay.
So but it's very gamey once you get the hang of it.
Mm.
So
okay.
Which is
really cool. It's definitely a gamer's game. It's like a large puzzle.
Like VL, very gamey. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
Like, there's not always one way to win.
Is it one on one?
No, it's up to four players.
Yeah, up to four players.
And best played with four, as usual.
Best,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it all asymmetric, or do the players have special powers?
No, they're all asymmetric. It's just
they are symmetric.
Yes.
Yeah. The one we just played a while ago was Dead Man's Draw. I released an article about it on our website. You guys can check it out there. What was surprising, I got to play it over the weekend with family. And I had to cut the rules down and teach it one by one, because when they explained it, they explained everything about the game from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And nowhere in the rules seems to be an explanation that you have to break it apart.
Mm.
But it doesn't work with castle gamers.
Oh.
So there's almost 10 suits that you have to worry about how they interact. Then you have traits. Then you have game modes.
Oh, yeah.
I
remember you showing us the reference.
Yeah.
Rules within rules.
Yeah, but what was cool is that for gamers, and that's what's impressive about this game, is that when it's with gamers who are very used to mechanics and how things work, you just give them the reference cards. This is how we play. This is the basic framework. Let's do it, and they wing it.
Mm.
And first game, they're sort of figuring out what. And then the second game, combos left and right.
Yeah.
points waving from one player to the next with huge.
You shot my mermaid.
Yes, every mermaid.
Now she's part of no one's world.
No, I got to steal the last one.
the highest one.
God.
Yeah. So there.
No, that's the cool thing about board games. Mm-hmm. We make, you know, we have fun and
we
create memories.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree. And I guess our main topic. We can start out with why should you play board games?
Right.
Definitely. What are the benefits? What do you guys think it provides to people? Why are we so interested in board gaming? My interest in board gaming really flourished when I was able to play with non-gamers. Where I'm a very... For many years, I've played competitive card games and played them since I was young. And I was addicted to the challenge, to the creativity that's needed, to all the worlds that are running in my head whenever I play. I always wanted to share that with other people, but I can't because it's the games and the cards are just already too complex for them to grow up, and it's just above what they're used to. With board gaming, I can take a game the moment I see a friend or a family visiting. Instantly I can think of a game in my collection that will work best for them, and I think that's so now my collection is sort of an arsenal of games I can share with my friends and family to have them experience and have a glimpse of the world I'm in. Where I get to be a pirate, or I get to travel the world as a scientist saving lives, doctors and whatnot.
You get to be role play, basically.
Yeah, you get to role play, you get to construct, run businesses that you would normally not be able to do.
Or run into the ground. That makes sense. As kids, we role play.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The moment you tie that first blanket around your neck,
the moment you take up a stick,
the moment you take up a stick, the moment
you whack your friend,
or jump pools of lava with those pillow rocks, right?
So you
stop making us feel old.
What?
No, but that's true. Yeah. The question is: should you stop playing when you grow older? I don't think. Play has a lot of benefit with humans because it allows our...
You're an alien.
Yeah.
You are an alien. I knew it.
He's too perfect.
Human beings play.
It explains a lot about
based
brain.
On my study.
I knew it.
Based on my research. And I was probing around. So, as human,
as humans, we
our brains when we are not working, when we are not studying or in a test, our brains explore more.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely try to see what else is there, and games allow you to do that. The benefits of imagination to kids is tremendous, and I think video games are a terrible investment for kids because it limits their imagination, because all they have to do is, like what you said in the last episode, they just have a controller.
You have a controller,
they're moving around,
it goes into the machine gives
that's
something back to
them. And often than not, games are often linear. They just have to
violent.
Linear
is
extremely
a very
violent
key word.
Well, there are some board games that are somewhat linear, but still you get to choose which one works for your family. Recently, I've started to sort of move out my lying and deception type board games because they don't work too well with my group.
Lying and deception type board games
would be like Avalon,
The
Resistance,
Hidden
Rules type.
Not yet the time for that, I guess.
It's not yet
appropriate.
Appropriate, but at the same time, there's also more opportunities for me for them to try out more mathy games or more constructive, creative type of games. Okay. Sales type of games is also very interesting.
Like
for sale. Would
you, for sale.
For sale.
It's a good game.
Like what we said last time, we have Compounded, which teaches chemistry.
Yes.
So that's very interesting. Even the basic spelling games, Scrabble has a lot of improvements now in modern incarnations of that game.
Really,
like, so paperback.
Paperback is one thing. It's a deck building.
That game is so good.
Wow, I haven't tried it. But
yeah, it's a deck building.
I remember playing that while taking
Scrabble game. Yeah,
I think we were drinking vodka that night or tequila.
Yeah, I think so. So it was funny, and he won.
I was half drunk.
Yeah, he was half drunk. Spelling words, gaining points. But the thing is that you acquire letter combinations.
Uh-huh.
Then instead of like the typical Scrabble, you just get the better score.
Mm-hmm.
These actually give you more powers. So one would be able to double up your score. One would be able to acquire you new cards. One would, and your goal there is to grab literary pieces that are now your points.
I see.
So it's like, oh, you finally were able to write this script or this piece or this play.
So it's more like a streamlined, more interesting version of Scrabble.
It is.
Yeah.
But even
Scrabble, the deck building game.
Yeah, that's true.
I've not tried
those. But even if you simplify it down, Bananagrams, which is a tile laying game, you're actually given your own Scrabble pieces, and you will then make a crossword about that game. And whenever you're finished, you shout out "Peel," and everyone has
peel.
Yeah,
okay.
So everyone needs to grab a new tile, and they have to add it into their piece.
People should try to play board games because it brings bonds that doesn't really form usually.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've had customers that, you know, they just started walking in and suddenly they're regulars. Suddenly we're really good friends.
Okay.
So I think the board games just connect people and it promotes, how do you call this?
Camaraderie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It takes you into a new space where you get to learn about the attitude and character of people, especially if it's like an adventure game and at that very epic last moment where they're just back to back to each other and they have aliens around you and suddenly your roles finally work.
Or you fail.
Or you fail.
But
true.
You still do it.
At least you always have the story that remember the time that we fought a bunch of aliens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or slay the dragon.
Yeah, that's true. How about you, Rich?
I agree with both. Absolutely. Imagination is important. But I think these days when we're so used to remote communication technology that our imagination is forced into how the other person we're talking to is actually speaking, what they look like. For example, you read a text message from that person. You kind of imagine what's their voice like. What's the expression on their face? How are they seeing it? Where they are? What are they looking at? And that's not the kind of imagination, I think. That's not the kind of activity imagination is meant to be used for.
Yeah.
I think the board gaming medium is something that brings people together, like you said, Jose, so that you experience the moment together.
No, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm.
I think we met through a board game.
Yes.
Wait.
Yes, we did. Power Grid was my first game with you.
Oh.
In a cafe.
Where was
Plaza.
Oh, Plaza Cafe.
Ours was Warhammer Conquest.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and ours was City of Remnants.
All right, this game, that criminal game, that's amazing. City, that song, that was a cool game.
I wanted to try that game.
Yes, it is.
You get to run. Criminal.
You're a crime boss.
Futuristic crime boss.
Yeah.
Control your.
You're trying
to
control the city, producing drugs and weapons.
Yeah. Helping the local folk, of course.
Of course.
Stealing from the rich and giving to the poor.
Yeah.
Or killing the other guy. So.
That is true. And I think meeting people in a board game setting is different. Compared to meeting them in competitive games.
I can.
Oh.
Well, that's true.
Definitely. I have a start because I freelance write, right? For magazines sometimes. And there are two kinds of events for me. One is that you have these press junkets where you are sent, let's say, to a resort or somewhere, and you have to write about that. Mm-hmm. Then another type of event is you just meet somewhere with other people, and you just, the goal is to just meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And I suck at meeting those. I suck at the second one. Because when there is no goal, when there is no purpose aside from meeting people.
Just mingling.
Mingle and hobnob or brown nose or whatever. I suck at it. I can't focus like that. Wow, you're minding everyone? That totally doesn't work. But when you're at a resort somewhere and your focus is on, just taking this experience in, the bonds between people are easier to form. And I think, in a way, board gaming is like that. When you're in this world and your goal is to, save the princess? Create an electric monopoly, rewrite the Cold War.
Or build the best looking castle.
Build the best looking castle or recruit the best guild hall people right in there. I think it makes the bonds more natural and organic.
And I think also for the people who are interested in board games have a certain open personality where they're excited to just try out games and see other people that are also excited about that.
So they also already have something in common.
Yes. Compared to like competitive gaming where, you know, you come in and it's actually difficult to
make
because it's very cutthroat. The people are trying to make their money back. They spent thousands. I spent thousands upon thousands. My wife normally would complain about it when I was in competitive gaming. And I would fly to different countries just to compete. I didn't really win. I was top 8-ish, sort of. But it's my team won. I was able to form a bond with my team, but definitely not with other people. With board gaming, it's like, oh, hi, Ron. You just see people and they just...
Yeah, okay.
You see them one time and...
They already know you.
They already know you.
That's why we call my place sometimes Cheers.
Everyone knows your name.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. But here's the thing, though. With such a positive perspective and such a gain, why are people not really... getting into this? Why are they
especially
here in the Philippines?
Some people would come in the shop
mm-hmm.
and they would say, "How much is this game?" Mm. And of course, I have to tell them the price, and they go, "What's in it?" They'll say, "Well, it has a bunch of cards, has some tiles," and they'll go, "So it's just a bunch of cardboard."
Okay.
And okay, bro, why don't the next time? How about you tell them? Oh, give me a game.
Let's say,
Haligali.
Game I know.
Twilight Struggle.
What? Well, okay, this is a two-player game. It has a bunch of cards, has a world map, and a bunch of icons. What's in it? Why don't you tell them, you get to rewrite history with this game. And you get to,
Those are two different points, but they're just asking what's inside.
What's inside?
Yeah.
What's inside? What's in store for you? Chance to rewrite history, man.
But that's the thing, right?
The people who try to buy board games, they want to know what they're getting out of.
So the physical
We Filipinos, and I guess it's also an Asian trait, we were brought up in such a way that you should only spend to things that will benefit your career, benefit your business.
Mm-hmm. Or feed you.
Definitely. Entertainment in general is sort of a taboo thing for us, especially if you're not well off. That stigma, I think, is ingrained to our culture. That I have friends who they would browse my collection in the office. They would see, oh, so many games. They would play games with me, but I think only one or two
would actually buy.
Actually started getting into the hobby. The reasoning behind it, why pay for something when I just get a bunch of cardboard in return? So the question here goes, how do we tell other people that it's just not a bunch of cardboard? Even if it's just a bunch of cardboard, the value of you investing for time with your family, is definitely priceless.
It is priceless. Exactly.
It is not just so that if there's brownouts, because that's the whole point of Monopoly back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brownout, no TV, let's grab the...
Bring
out the board games. It divides the people to people who are willing to pay apps, for example, on their phone, and people who will just try to get pirated copies. Sad reality is in the Philippines, there's a lot of people don't see the value in original content. They don't see the value. Well, they see the value, but they're okay just ripping them off. But in essence, musicians, artists, programmers, developers, and all these people devoted time and effort to make these things, and that, there's value in it.
That is a keyword.
Yeah.
About board gaming, let's say compared to a movie, how much is a movie nowadays? 300?
Yeah.
How much is a video game right now? Like 1,000 bucks maybe?
2,000 normally for the good titles.
Now, the thing with those is, one, you experience it usually alone. Like, you watch a movie, right? You can watch it
with family and friends, yeah.
Yes, but the experience is, you can do it alone.
Yes, it's a one-on-one experience, yep.
With games and movies also, the experience is canned. It's delata. You open it, that's it, right?
Yeah.
The achievements are all pre-mapped and everything, but with board games, you play it, you need other people for the most part, and the experience is unique. It's one of a kind.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
It's unique every single time you play it.
Every single time you play it is unique.
Yeah.
And the memories you form are found nowhere else. Even if, let's say, the most expensive gaming console, the top tier, Xbox or whatever, if you have that, and your friend has a lesser one, you can think, oh, well, I'm getting a better experience. With board games, you can't say that, even if one has more expansions than the other, because your experiences are unique. That's the difference between 5 days in Boracay versus 3 days. Yeah, the five-day people spent more, but can they say they were happier? Of course not.
Yeah,
that's the point.
Because
they could have spent it differently.
They spent it differently. They spent it with less people, less hassle. Who knows? Same thing with board games.
And in that sense, I think it's actually a very cheap form
of entertainment.
Of entertainment, because I buy, let's say.
Sorry. Writer saying, can we not use the term
cheap?
Form of entertainment, because connotes something
less,
else.
Okay.
Maybe
less expensive.
More
less expensive.
Valuable.
Other.
Value
for your efficient.
Money. More, yeah, more like.
Value for your money or less.
Something like that.
Less
value
expensive.
For your money.
Again,
inexpensive.
There you go. It's a very inexpensive form of entertainment, because if I buy a single copy of Guildhall, for example, I can play that for years.
Exactly.
And none of it will change. But every time I play it, with every different player, or even the same set of people, we get to enjoy the game over and over and over. And this is for... It works for the small games, even the big games, where you actually can... You would end up playing them just a few times in your life, but every single time, it's just the world, the biggest, most epic movie that can happen in your head. Arkham Horror, for example, plays like
classic.
6 to 7 hours. Right? So no...
Cleans up in 3 to 4 hours. Sets up in about as long.
Yes. But you now need to get the right people who will role play, who will really invest with you in this moment.
Get into it, yeah.
And you will then dedicate your day, which I'm sure, regardless of how many movies you watch, you cannot generate the same level.
Yes, of
go on. Of experience, of emotions, of pictures in your head. I think it's incomparable.
You know why? Because it's because board games are a two-way medium. You create with movies. You're just receiving. With games, you press X and your character suddenly does all these super movements perfectly every single time.
Yeah, and it's a lot of. It's not about gaming, rather the skill of it.
Yeah, I remember one time they were playing a Game of Thrones, the board game.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Now,
very, very Brand new topic.
Yeah. Oh, I just saw the first four episodes. But anyway, going back.
We were just talking about piracy and all that.
What? It's not officially. What? No, officially. Anyway, who would have done such a thing?
Horrible. Not me.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so, the game is about you taking control of one of the houses and fighting over the throne. Yes. No, the funny thing is.
You don't say.
The way you're going through the game, then I hear them. What? The Tyrells won? Who would have thought the Tyrells would have won?
But in book 5, I'm just kidding.
But I mean, it's just that you're creating your own story, you're rewriting the whole book by itself.
And you're avenging, I'm sure you're avenging your favorite character who died there.
Yeah.
Which will probably be all of them.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. Shockingly, at the first few episodes. What?
I've known a guy who owns the Resistance for years now and he still plays it.
The very low cost per play game. Maybe that's a better way to judge games instead of judging it based on absolute value. How many times can you play this game before it's reduced to bits and parts?
How many times? Mm-hmm. Going back to the Arkham Horror
experience. And the enjoyment out of it also.
It's a combination.
Is there an alien equation?
They try to. There's in Board Game Geek, there's people who are actually trying to come up with a formula of the value of a game per play. Even if you played it once, but you made that perfect moment with your son, with your wife, it doesn't matter.
There you go.
I agree.
Yeah,
because,
I agree.
Again, the experiences, you can never repeat them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, we had a fun experience. Can we replay that? It doesn't work like that.
Mm.
The next time you play Pandemic,
it could be another
fun experience. We play the Samurai Spirit. It's a cooperative game. You guys are samurais, and you're trying to defend this town, a la seven samurai.
Is that the one where you each take the role of a kung fu master and you're fighting off Chinese ghosts?
No, that's
Ghost Stories.
That's Ghost
Stories.
So no, you're monks. Different.
Okay. So this one, it's you can play 1 to 7 players, but it's a very The combat is very abstract. You're trying to mitigate the amount of raiders that are coming in just by their numbers. And at the same time, you're trying to achieve quests so that your homesteads are defended, your walls are defended, and the families are defended.
Okay. Is it cooperative?
It's very extremely cooperative.
But the funky thing is that if you die in the game the first time, you flip the card.
And you become a ghost.
And you become an animal spirit.
Wait a minute. You become stronger?
Yes. You become stronger.
And you get... It's like you get... Like this one guy turns into a monkey. Or the other one turns into a tiger.
That's awesome. I've never heard of this game. I want to play it.
Power of the Tiger.
Yeah. One turns you into a
like visionary
bear.
Yeah, drop by our shop. We have a demo there.
Yeah.
I want to play that.
Yeah. So, and that... See
and
that's...
You have that sacrifice mentality that samurais are kind of known for.
In that game... You need to choose to die.
Huh?
Because it will benefit the team more.
Yes.
Yeah, but... Okay.
But of course, you're now risking because the next time you die, then the game is lost.
There are key moments that you would choose
to die. Okay, we have to end this podcast soon, right now. I need to try this right now.
Really, the joy of board gaming, I just can't explain how much... It will help your families. Will help your friends to bond together.
I agree, and all that. But how about we mitigate the cost? There's besides trying first before you buy. There's also
print and play.
What?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, kind of.
But
I was thinking
that also has costs.
There is also an existing, if not somewhat limited, aftermarket. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
So you can actually buy.
You can resell it,
but you rarely sell your board games.
You do. You rarely sell.
You rarely
every,
sell
you
your
rarely
board
sells.
Games. Yeah, normally when you sell them,
with a heavy heart.
In the Philippines, it's now a growing trend of board game themed shops.
Mm-hmm.
So there's restaurants and establishments that you can just come in. Do you have demo copies so we can try out? You can ask any of their staff. Normally, they know how to play the game. Uh-huh. If not, I'm sure someone if there's a board gamer in there, they will probably raise their hand and then say hey, wanna, yeah, I
and these are strangers.
You. These are strangers.
That will be
but cool. Not for long.
Yes. They're your future friends.
True. That's true. Mm. And that's how I got into the hobby. I just, after the...
Yeah, I remember your collection just kind of
boomed.
To not be cliched, just beanstalk. Boom!
It's like, come in, and the only board game I had was Bonanza.
I love how you say that. No, I had Bonanza.
And the society itself, I believe, it's a very friendly society.
That is true. There was someone who messaged me one time a few months ago. Hey, I have a difficult background. Before in card gaming, I actually stole cards and you know, hated me for it. Mm. And I've paid for my sins. And
I wonder how though. But
I don't know. I didn't ask. But he said, can I play games? Can I play board games? Will you guys accept me? And instantly, one of the major store owners quickly replied to him, you know, whatever you've done in the past, that's your past. We'll see what you are like now. So you are welcome to trade with us. You're welcome to play board games. Mm. And by the way, we are deleting this thread. There's a thread in Magic that already imploded. You guys are you remember MTG Reclamo?
Oh, sorry. I remember that one. Okay. The popcorn site.
there's this.
What's popcorn?
Because when you're going there, you want to grab a box.
So people just come in there and they just want to complain about
Magic.
Everything.
Everything under the sun.
That's the thing. They're engaged.
Yeah. So and it eventually it imploded in terms of its own issues inside, and I didn't really follow, but I learned about it because that's what that guy shared to me. Here's the thread where they're talking about me, and if you want to see the background, this is me. And I admire the guy. In fact, he wants to help us. He wants to help me in my Quotes and Verses game. Mm-hmm. In board gaming, I guess the main selling point for me was I'm always keen to go to a community that I feel I'll enjoy the camaraderie, the conversations. Mm. I'm looking for intelligent people to talk to.
And in board games, it requires a certain kind of, how do I say this, intellectual
openness. It's not there's games for every level of difficulty.
Taboo like games, for example, which are also equally fun. That was what was that game?
Time's Up
is an incredibly fun, simple game.
Yeah, Telestrations. We play together.
Yes, but I can't draw.
That's why it's fun. You don't need to draw
that game.
You can be the
Jesus
worst.
Christ.
You could be the worst artist in the world, and you would still have fun.
It's funny to watch people.
Oh yeah,
I would draw it out.
How do I draw this thing? Or what the hell is this?
Nobody got my representation of Manila.
That's true. Well,
it was a satellite view. Damn it.
If these games are attractive, you can check them out online. In fact, there's a YouTube channel, Dice Tower Network. You can look for it in YouTube. And Tom Vassell does a great job with his team of hundreds of gamers, just producing. Well, the whole network of Tom is has grown to many partner networks, and they just produce content every week. Board Game Breakfast. They now have a
board game breakfast.
Yeah, Board Game Breakfast. I love that show. He just talks about board gaming the past week and all this new stuff. And there's people contributing about other stuff in it. He has Board Game Blender, which is just a comedy parody type of.
Okay, it's not that kind of Blender. Great. That would have been sad.
But if you guys are interested, he would actually, when he does board game breakfast, he would like take a toast and put like Quarriers dice on it, or maybe cards, and actually put mustard. Well, he would just part of his intro thing gimmick. Yeah, but and how about for the rest would be?
I personally love BoardGameGeek.com. Mm-hmm. So it has the board game reviews, board game news. People do write ups about their board games, what's in balance, maybe tips on play. So Board Game Geek for me.
Yeah, I think Board Game Geek is like the flagship of board gaming.
Very simple.
I always refer that to the top games.
Yeah.
They have the biggest database of board games. So every board game possible is almost in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people actively contribute pictures and plays and reviews.
Oh, and helpful documents.
Foreign language translations of
those. Or quick setup guides.
Yep.
Or
even the cheat sheets for really fast. Like my Kemet has copies of quick reference guides that I printed just so the players won't need to.
Less cumbersome.
Yep.
And if ever.
It's like a teenation of board gaming.
If anyone wants to acquire board games, if you don't have to buy a brand new copy, you can get a secondhand copy, you can visit the Facebook page Philippine Game Traders.
Philippine Game Traders.
Yeah, I think it's
like a stock market thing, but
if you are just want to try into board gaming first, and you don't want to jump the gun into spending a significant amount of money, it maybe you can find some games there that are inexpensive. You do have to browse through, but definitely the main resource I think that they can get there is they can ask around easily where they can find the stuff. If they're interested in a certain game, how can they source it? And definitely people there are more than willing to help them out and direct
really
them to
friendly.
Where. Yeah,
I've dealt with some of these people before and they're really friendly.
And of course, check out our website, Variable Play, which is
Variable Play.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And we're going to post pictures.
Yep.
And links, I'm sure, hopefully.
Because I know people are wondering what we look like.
actually, I have.
So, see us in
to.
6 months after we work out.
Okay.
Where we'll have a juxtapose and.
Okay. So
take a look at my Photoshop picture.
No, but.
Although I'm trying to get both of you into CrossFit.
Yeah, sure.
We're gonna do that.
In Variable Play, there's a lot of content about how to get into gaming. Benefit of it for family. There's even a top 10 list of channels that you guys can watch. YouTube channels. Will Wheaton is a definite plus for the industry. He was able to sensationalize board gaming. That's where we started seeing the more commercial surge into board gaming. But in fact, Board Game Geek is, I think, more than a decade old.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's a really old site.
It's a very...
even the layout's
old. Even the layout is old.
But I still go to it.
Yeah. All right, cool. So I hope you guys enjoy our very first episode. The first one was the pilot one.
Does it count?
we just wanted to see whether we're going to have reception.
An extra episode.
Yeah.
But apparently we do.
Yeah, true. Okay. And definitely I enjoy working with you guys.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing and hearing more of us in the next episodes. We are thinking about maybe an RPG session.
Oh yeah, we have to do an RPG session.
My son is excited on the mashup.
Yeah,
of
why is
Assassin's
Ray not here? Is he school or
painting stuff?
Oh
yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Such a smart kid.
Yeah,
he's interested in the Numenera mashup with Assassin's Creed. So I'm sort of building that world, and hopefully we can try that out because
we could do it here.
Apparently a very political
game. Could ask some of the prominent dungeon masters.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. If they can grace us with their presence. All right, guys. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
And that was Variable Play Podcast.
So you can start with your intro.
Oh, I thought we were just going to cut and paste that.
Oh, we're going to cut and paste it?